Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on Google Podcast.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Tuesday, the 9th of April, 2024. Today is the 100th day of the year. I'm sure your feed is filled with photos of yesterday's eclipse. It certainly was neat. Projections of massive traffic jams here in the band of totality did not seem to materialize. Someone posted a meme that they were marked safe from the rapture. I still cannot get my mind around the flippant attitude on that subject. There are some questions I have on end-time teaching, and as per usual, I do not always fit well with the mainstream. However, I am certain there are unbelievers in our midst. But on to more mundane subjects. French explorer Robert La Salle reaches the mouth of the Mississippi River and claims all of the watershed for France. The year is 1682. La Salle is just 29 at the time, and by this time he had completed several expeditions in what will become the Old Northwest. Well before Thomas Edison's phonograph, a French inventor makes the earliest known recordings of an audible human voice in 1860. The device was known as a phonoautograph. It was not a sound recording directly, but a graphical representation of sound scribed on a smoked glass by a stylus. Just a two-dimensional picture of sound. A few years ago, some of these graphics were scanned and the sound recreated. Edison's phonograph scribed the sound waves as a groove on a wax cylinder and could be replayed directly. April 9th, 1865 marks the effective end to the American Civil War as Robert E. Lee surrenders the Army of Northern Virginia to Ulysses S. Grant. There are other armies to surrender, and of course the strife will not be completely settled until well in the 20th century. We could argue it continues in some ways to this day. Maybe the personification of the rockabilly music scene, Carl Perkins is born in 1932. If you were watching television in the very late 1960s, the names Sid and Marty Croft may ring a bell. The brothers were longtime puppeteers, something of a Jim Henson in a different era. Their television work was centered around full-body puppets or costumes. The Saturday morning show H.R. Puffin Stuff was one of their creations, which aired in 1969. The brothers were also the creative element for the earlier Hanna-Barbera series, The Banana Splits Adventure Hour. Again, full-body puppets. Younger brother Marty Croft was born on this day in 1937. German Nazis execute Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer in 1945, just days before World War II ends. Bonhoeffer is a worthy study. He was part of the resistance to Nazi rule and policies. While this seems like a strange position for a pastor, much of the German church was complicit with the Nazis. Actor Dennis Quaid is 70 today. I'm still partial to the film Breaking Away, which featured a rather young Quaid. Anyone remember the opening song? When I die, won't you bury me in the parking lots of the A&P? A lament of teenage stock boys. The Suez Canal is cleared and reopened in 1957. It was closed for a number of years after Egypt had sunk 40 ships blocking the canal. The whole affair is between Britain, France, Israel, and Egypt. Britain and France were the major players in the region at the end of World War II. It's a rabbit hole, but when Britain and France carved up the region, they in fact employed a two-state solution to the Arab-Jew issue. Jordan was the Arab nation created, and Israel jumped in and declared independence as a Jewish state. The Arab nations were not happy that there was a Jewish state, period. That remains the rub to this day. The original seven Mercury astronauts are named on this day in 1959. The seven will serve as the core of NASA through the moon landing and into the early days of the shuttle program. The maiden flight of the Boeing 737 takes to the air in 1967. The 737 remains in production. It was billed as Big Jet Comfort on short-haul routes. 2 years later, the first British-built Concorde makes its maiden flight, A month earlier, the French-built copy had flown. The prospects were bright for the supersonic craft, and at one time there were 74 potential orders, but the concept had problems and only 20 were built. The Soviets also had a supersonic craft, and Boeing had one on the drawing boards as well. The Boeing 2707 would have been larger and faster, but was canceled before the first two prototypes were completed. The idea looked great on paper, but did not play out well, as it was far too expensive to be practical. A federal court finds former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega guilty of drug and racketeering charges in 1992. The relationship between Panama and the U.S. is a sordid tale. Noriega was the hatchet man for the ruler and later dictator himself. He had a habit of playing all sides to his benefit. Think Captain Jack Sparrow, but with bad acne. In time, U.S. interests grew tired and turned on him. He will serve 17 years of a 40-year sentence in the U.S., being turned over to the French and eventually the Panamanians. He dies in prison in Panama. United Airlines has a crisis in 2017. A passenger gets unruly after the airline requested he give up his seat on a flight. Now the passenger had acted in good faith, and the airline, like most, had overbooked the flight. It was a standard practice, assuming some number of ticketed passengers would not show up for the flight. Some passengers reveled in the practice. If your time permitted, additional free tickets were a common perk for getting bumped. But the gentleman on this day was not interested in a free ticket and wanted to make the flight. Dragging a passenger off a plane, kicking and screaming, was not good for United's public relations campaign. That's History and Comment for the 9th day of April. I'm Doug Tyrrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.